From Chicago, where being windy is nothing new, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The only Medicare podcast that uses Squatty Potty. And now, wondering when his hover car will be ready to buy, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Drew McMillan, my Canadian nephew, may have told you who I am, but in case he didn't, I will tell you that I am Doug Jones, your Medicare expert, maybe your Medicare specialist, but certainly a person who wants to help you deal with Medicare. And I am here to help you feel comfortable about the impending transition that you may be facing, going from Obamacare to Medicare. It can be a stumbling block, but there is a way to get through it with joy and with a feeling of accomplishment, with a feeling of security. And one of the ways that you can do that is by reading my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. You can get that book at barnesandnoble.com or at amazon.com. You can get any one of four different editions for the book, and they all have the same fantastic knowledge in them. If you want the spiffiest paperback for a $9 price, go to barnesandnoble.com. And you'll find a paperback edition that has beautiful color illustrations on the inside. If you want the regular black and white paperback edition for a little bit less money, then go to Amazon.com. Also on Amazon, you can get the Kindle version, which is less than $4. You can get the Audible version, and you can get the magnificent hardcover version suitable for gifting to your friends and relatives. So there's a plethora of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023 books just waiting for you to pluck them off the shelf. I come here regularly to podcast, to record these podcast episodes, and I love doing it. And for the last couple of weeks, I've come here to record podcast episodes, and there's been nobody here with me. When I look at the screen, my friend Randy has been absent, and so we haven't recorded anything. But fortunately, we put enough in the bank that we were able to keep the demand satisfied. Well, the demand caught up with our supply, and so here we are starting again to record. And so I'm going to tell you that I've been less than organized during the course of time that we've been away from the recording studio. Randy, what have you have you had a time off? Did you go someplace warm and sunny during your break?
I would have liked to have said yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you live in a tropical paradise, right?
My backyard in the last several weeks has been cold and rainy, and oh my gosh, I'm going, did I jump into the Matrix and end up back in Nebraska? It's been I really, really have wondered, because I know it's just me, but does it seem like we've gotten more rain this year than any other time in your life living in Arizona?
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, after the monsoons this summer were fairly heavy, we should be pretty much out of that drought they've been screaming about. So I'm
Everybody talking about, oh my God, the lakes are filling up, you know, California is covered with snow. I mean, everything seems to have healed itself based on the winter and the early spring
that's the way it always works. That's the way it always works. The climate change is not climate change. It's some years are cold, some years are warm. Some years the polar bears have a lot of ice to frolic on. Some years the polar bears have to do more swimming, but they seem to do just fine. And you can tell that the people who are paying attention have abandoned their plans to come to Arizona for the wintertime. We just had that one probably week-long period of high tourism between the Phoenix Open and the Super Bowl. And it seemed like something else. Oh, it's Bike Week is coming up. But the only people that have ever really that haven't canceled their vacation plans in Arizona this winter that I know of are my next door neighbors. They came out here from New York and then they said, oh, my God, this is a mistake. So they've been huddled in their house with their arms around each other, shaking from the, you know, going outside in the cold is frightening to them. So they just stay inside. Hell of a way to spend an Arizona winter.
It is, especially when you spent your life savings to get here thinking it was going to be warm and sunny. Yeah. It's just really such a disappointment. But what was it, a week or two ago, Margaret and I were in Tucson for a wedding.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And that was really about the best weekend we've had for quite a while. We were some friends of ours across the street, their daughter and now their new son-in-law live in Tucson. And if you guys, there's no reason that they would be listening, but Lily and Jake, you put on a great wedding. Okay.
Whereabouts should they live in Tucson?
Now if I could tell you that, I would tell you, but I don't know because we didn't ever see their house. We were at some resort up against the foot of the mountains.
Well, which resort were you at?
If I knew that, I would tell you that too.
Boy, as a Tucson lover, you're just very unsatisfying today. My favorite place, my favorite resort is Westward Look on Ina Road. And ironically, right outside the entrance to Ina Road or to the Westward Look is the shopping center where Gabby Giffords was shot. And so that's a, you know, not a good thing for most people to think about that. But the Westward Look was a ranch that has been turned into a high-end resort. And I had to stop staying there a few years ago, like 10 years ago, when they instituted a resort fee. And I said, hey, look, I've been coming and staying at your beautiful property for years, and now you want to chase me away with your stupid resort fee. And I didn't get an answer. So I don't think they really cared about my business, but I miss it there. And it was
what is the resort fee?
It's a way to screw more money out of you. It's theoretically, you can go stay there. And then if you want to use all their fun stuff, then you can pay an extra daily fee for the right to use it. You don't even have to use it. They don't care if you use it or not. But it's basically just a way to, and I'm sure there's some sort of legal ramification that allows them to advertise their room rates as being really, really low without telling you that the resort fee is going to be piled on top of your room rate.
Yeah. So, you know, there's always some problem. People trying to slide stuff underneath the table.
Yeah, I will say, though, the Westward Look, if you don't mind throwing money away, is a beautiful place to stay in Tucson, right up against the Santa Catalina Mountains.
Yeah, yeah. I really have not. Well, obviously, you know, my daughter went to U of A.
Right.
So we spent a lot of time in Tucson, but most of the time I spent acting as the resident pack mule.
Of course, that's what parents are for. I understand that. And, you know, frankly, been through it myself. Where did you stay when you would go down there back in those days?
I was always staying at Marriott properties. Uh-huh. So that's back when I was on the road all the time. And I had to carry my Marriott, you know, bonus points around in a suitcase. I had so many of them. So, yeah, we were always staying at Marriott properties, and there was two or three of them we would stay at down there. One was right, as I remember, it was right off campus,
right
down by U of A. And then there was another one that we used to stay at. But one Marriott looks just like another. So
they do. They do. There is a magnificent. When I went to school there, there was not a thing called Star Pass, STARR. Mm-hmm. I think I sound like a pirate. It's right at the end of 22nd Street. If you take 22nd Street west into the mountains, theoretically that's Star Pass. And now they have a magnificent JW Marriott resort there. And it is a fantastic place. The only reason I know that, because I'm too cheap to actually pay to stay there, is because the Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau gave me a 3-day weekend free of charge And so the first day we were out on their giant patio. That's probably 5 acres of patio they have. And there were millions of tables and chairs all over the place and a lot of people sitting there waiting expectantly. And so we sat down and a waitress came up and said, okay, are you here for tequila tasting? Well, sure. Sign us up for that. Boy, did they give away a lot of free tequila. They had some Mexican stood on a table in the middle of this patio and told the legend of how tequila was invented by Pancho Villa's son-in-law or something. And the story went on and on. Meanwhile, these waitresses are passing out shot glasses full of tequila, various different types, because I think there are about 100 different kinds of tequila.
Right.
Right. I had to throw Mary over my shoulder to get her back to the room. It was incredible how drunk she got on free tequila, but it was a magnificent evening we spent out there, I'll tell you.
You know, free tequila seems to go down a lot better.
Well, it was very tasty. I didn't mind it at all. You wouldn't catch me paying for tequila. I'm a beer guy, but boy, you give me some free tequila and I'll be a happy camper all day long.
I'm not a big tequila drinker either, but when I first moved to Arizona,
you would be if it were free.
I would drink anything for free. One of my good friends, as you know, Terry, who lived across the street from me, and he's in the beer business, and he also, his company also acts as the rep for a few private label distilleries.
Uh-huh.
And he came up, one of his private label distilleries came up with a peanut butter flavored whiskey.
Okay. I don't think I'm even going to touch that if it's free. I love peanut butter.
I thought the same thing. And he goes, no, try it. And he gave me a hook. He had like, 45 gallons of it that he was, giving out for samples. Yeah. And I said, oh my God, this is going to be terrible. He gave me a shot of that peanut butter whiskey. And I'm going, well, that's not so bad.
Well, how much whiskey had you had before you tried the peanut butter whiskey?
Well, I had several good Irish whiskeys before that. Well, so by the time I got to the peanut butter whiskey, I would have probably drank pretty much anything.
That explains everything. That makes everything perfectly clear. Well, I'll tell you, I love peanut butter and I love chocolate, but nobody is going to convince me that peanut butter and chocolate together are good. Never the twain shall meet.
Doug?
Yeah,
our 75 cents worth of airtime is clicking down here. So I'm going to go ahead and let you get on to the business at hand, which means that you need to put on your Medicare supplemental expert hat.
You and I sure know how to burn up the time, don't we? It's almost 13 minutes that we've just urinated away. So let me take my pile of things that I've been adding to and saving during our 2.5 weeks of not recording anything and see if I can't hit on a few Medicare-related subjects. One of the things is an announcement that U.S. public health officials have their hands tied for the next pandemic, which I call a panic. The anniversary of global pandemic declaration nears. Health experts warn that restrictions passed in the wake of COVID-19 will only make it tougher for the public health service to respond when the next virus attacks. One day we're going to have a panic far worse than COVID, and we're going to look to the government to protect us, and it'll have its hands behind its back and blindfold on. Well, I'm saying that's a good thing. Those people went berserk during the early part of 2020, when they found out that they could order people to stay home, close their businesses, go on the public dole, and wear masks every stupid place that they had to go. Those people should have been hauled out of their offices and shot for the kind of stress and desperation and stupidity that they placed on Americans. And frankly, all free people in the world. There was absolutely no reason for that, but they discovered that they could use this panic as an excuse to make the economy suffer, to make people perform their little duties, whatever they decided to snap their fingers to. It galls me that people were forced to wear masks on airplanes with the cleanest air filters in the history of mankind, on and on and on. The stupidity of the little tyrants that caused the damage to this country and to the children that never got to see faces in school, and on and on. So, frankly, I'm just as happy that they have lost their skill, their ability to make our free citizenry kowtow to their demands. We've got a local newspaper here called the Sonoran News, and every year when the original publisher was in charge, every year on April 1st, the edition was called the Sonoran News and had a lot of funny articles and everything. And then he died. So now we are stuck with the Sonoran News with a less humorous take and a less conservative take on things. But we have a column in the Sonoran News called Ask Rusty. And it might be that Ask Rusty appears in other publications around the country. I don't know. But anyway, so Rusty has a thing where he's asked by somebody if he has an opinion on this. There is confusion between my husband and me on when he should file for Medicare. My husband will be 64 in July. While he does plan on continuing to work to age 67 and continuing with his employer's insurance plan, I believe there is a requirement that he file a certain part of the Medicare retirement plan at age 65. Otherwise, there's some penalty at some point in the future after retirement. There's lots of confusion with this, and I'm hoping you can explain exactly what the process is for filing for Medicare at age 65 after reaching full retirement age. Also, please comment on whether continuing with the employer's plan is an option if you should file for Medicare at age 65. Okay, well, I got the question out, and frankly, I got to tell you, my photocopy of this newspaper column is very dark, so I'm having trouble reading it. So let me explain, because many of my clients are concerned about that, and they're confused by it too. Basically, as you're going along, you're 63, you're 64, you're covered by your employer's health insurance plan. When you reach age 65, you are faced with a choice. It's not a serious choice, though. There's really no wrong way to answer. But for most people in this country that work for companies with 20-some people or more, you can either enroll in part of Medicare or not. And you can blithely go right along not enrolled in Medicare if you want to. So you work for a company that has 20 or more employees, and you get all this stuff saying, okay, it's time for you to enroll in Medicare. First of all, there are two parts of Medicare. Part A won't cost you anything. Part B will cost you 100 and something. This year, it's $164.90 per month. Well, why do you want to pay that if you don't have to? So the question comes down to, do you enroll in Part A or nothing? Because Part B should wait until you need that extra coverage. So the answer is, if you are like most people, you work for a large company and you don't need to enroll in Medicare, don't enroll in Medicare until you're contemplating your retirement date. However, I suggest that if you enroll in Part A when you turn 65, eventually, when you decide to get Part B, when you're leaving your employer's plan, it'll be easier for you to enroll in Part B. There's going to be less for you to do. The system will know who you are. They'll be waiting for you to contact them. You might be 68 years old. You might be 70 years old. If you have enrolled in Part A already as you turn 65, then you can find the path to Part B that much easier and less frustrating. What they're going to do is they're going to ask you for a CMS 40, which is a Part B application, and they're going to ask you for an affidavit that it's a L-564, CMS-L-564, the form that you would have your HR department sign indicating that you have been covered by an insurance plan, an insurance plan that's going to take the place of Medicare until you're ready to retire. So you don't have to enroll in Medicare, but it's probably helpful to enroll in Part A, because someday when you want to enroll in Part B, it'll make it that much easier. You'll already be on the books at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Now, the one thing I will say, though, if you have an HSA plan, you've got a tax advantage deposit to an account that is paying part of your deductible, part of your medical expenses, you don't want to have anything to do with any part of Medicare until 6 months after you have made your last deposit, your tax advantage deposit. That's the only reason not to enroll in any part of Medicare, because they might reverse the tax deposit tax benefits, and they might actually issue a fine, some sort of a tax penalty. I don't know exactly how that works, because I am not a tax expert, but that's the only reason. If you have an HSA that with a tax advantage, an account that accepts deposits from your employer or from you, and you get a tax benefit, do not have anything to do with Medicare until you have had 6 months pass from your last tax advantage deposit. Otherwise, you don't have to enroll in any part of Medicare, but it may be to your advantage to enroll at least in Part A if you're still covered by your employer's plan. So that's the short story here. I got to tell you, Ask Rusty is in my stack of stuff because he kind of blew the answer. As I recall, when I read this and photocopied it, his answer was not exactly accurate. Oh my golly. Geez, Randy, you and I do more jaw jacking. Here we are. We've burned up pretty much all of our productive time for today. No more time for Medicare factual or even speculative information. It's time.
You know what happened, don't you?
Well, I think it was because you got me all excited about the weather or something. Was that what it was?
Well, yeah, there was that part. But then the other part is we haven't seen each other for 2 weeks to record. So we had a bunch of pent-up stories to tell.
There you go. You're exactly right. I was telling Randy about my next-door neighbors. They built the house next door to me back in 2004, and they've probably been out here a grand total of maybe four times or five times for about a week or two each time. They showed up just in time for the nasty cold winter weather we've had here in Arizona. Believe me, they are depressed.
And we're very much looking forward to our trip to the Texas Roadhouse. You know, I'm sitting on my pins and needles over here. We have Doug and I have been trying to get Mary and Margaret out with us to the Texas Roadhouse here. Just I don't know how long we've been working on it. 3 weeks.
I would say a month. Because what happened was Margaret got sick, and then Mary had a birthday, and then what else happened? It was you had a wedding, and these events conspired to basically rob us of the opportunity to go to the Texas Roadhouse.
Well, we're still working on it, folks, and when we finally get the family over to the Texas Roadhouse, we're going to let you know, because I am so looking forward to that. I can't tell you.
We may record an episode from the Texas Roadhouse just to prove to everybody that we succeeded.
So, okay, I got a question for the folks. If you want to see us do a remote from the Texas Roadhouse, you let us know, and we will go ahead and do a remote from the Texas Roadhouse, because we have done remotes out of the out of my garage, actually, but we called it, what did we call that? The Dubliner Pub, I think.
We called it the only remote we've ever done.
But yes, absolutely.
It was liberally lubricated with Guinness, yes. As I recall.
Yes, yes. I think, well, we put a pretty good-sized dent in my Guinness supply that day. So anyway, we need to sign off because the 75 cents is gone, and I don't have another quarter to put in the meter.
Well, then do
your
thing.
So we need to go ahead and sign off. You know, Doug, nationwide licensed agent, contact him at dbj@mlmmailbag.com with any questions you've got, comments or concerns. Check us out at MedicareForTheLazyMan.com, our really cool website. Doug already talked about all the various places and forms that his book is available in, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. Find a place to give us a ranking on our podcast and or book. 5 stars would be awesome. But in the meantime, you have just spent today 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance insurance guy, originally from Oklahoma, no more, living in the high altitudes behind Cave Creek. And I think today I'm going to chalk him in that his fortress of solitude is coming in at about 17.5.
God, no wonder I have nosebleeds. Oh, Randy, thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll look forward to talking to you soon. Bye-bye.